Okay, good morning to you. By the way, the program that you just heard with Nisha was previously recorded. The phones went crazy, Patrick. People want all the information.
Sorry, Sue.
So go to those websites that were there. It was a very popular show. That's why we re-aired it while she was gone. Patrick Doyle's in the house. Patrick heads up Veritas Counseling, and it's your opportunity to call in, be a part of the conversation here this morning. The number is 776-5368. The number to his office is 622-6018. But if you want to call here, you don't have to have an appointment, and you don't have to pay for it. 776
free.
Yeah, 776-5368. Got a lot to talk about. At the end of the program, Patrick,
yes,
I have hot off the press.
Awesome.
We were the first ones in the United States to get this.
Cool.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Our affiliate, United Christian Broadcasters in England, printed, I think, 60,000 of these.
Wow.
And handed gave them out to their
listeners.
Their readers and stuff. And Bob Gass, who writes our daily devotional, The Word for You Today,
right,
wrote this little book, Knowing God's Will, Learning to Recognize God's Voice. Question, how many of you out there, now you can honk your horn, wave your hand, blink your headlights, do anything you want to do. How many of you out there want to know God's will for your life?
Yeah, that's a popular
Raise
question.
Your hand.
Yeah.
Toot the horn. All right. I mean, we just caused a big roar out there. All right. I have four of these little books. They're little books. You could read it in one night easy.
Yeah.
And it's a book that you can sit down. And now, a lot of you receive this book in the mail because we sent them out to those who support the Dove as a Christmas gift. I want to tell you, you ought to read the letters we're getting back on this little book.
I've heard a lot of people have talked to me about it.
The common response we're getting is, this book was sent to me at the exact right time.
Right.
I'm at a crossroads. I have to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
My children are at a crossroads. They had to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
I'm debating whether to do this or to do that. And so this little book is something that you will have forever. You'll read it probably once a month. It's called Knowing God's Will, Learning to Recognize God's Voice. I'm going to give away four of these at the end of the broadcast today.
Awesome.
Which kind of sets up, going into a new year, we're always thinking about, starting fresh, starting over, starting new.
Getting a new chance.
Getting another chance, refocus.
Mm-hmm.
I just got through reading a book that Stephanie gave me, Stephanie Alvarez, called Intimacy with God by Chuck Swindoll.
Yeah.
It's about the size of this book here.
Uh-huh.
And I read that book and I go, man, I made it complicated. I made getting alone with God really hard. I was really hard on myself.
Yeah.
You know? But there's a couple of things that one was solitude.
Yep. Can't avoid it if you want to have some voice of God.
You just cannot talk to God on the run. Those of you who are praying right now, listening to the Dove, praying on your way to work and think that's your devotional.
Nah. Putting on your makeup and
sipping a latte, listening to the Dove,
and
kind of praying to God in the background.
Right.
Nope, that ain't it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think as we live in these very troubled times,
right,
we are in waters that the whole world has never ever been in before. And the elite who's trying to tell us, oh yeah, this will happen and that, no, they're the ones that lied to us and messed it up.
Right.
So we're in some really, and you know what I want to say to the listeners, don't be troubled by the economy and let that divert you from seeing what's really happening when Israel is in war. That's the time clock. And I think we need to wake up that there has to be a sense of urgency in us believers that we have a job to do. Let's get on with it. And so starting the new year, we make all these resolutions. I'm going to lose 10 pounds. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to be smarter. Wait a minute.
Right.
What about talking to God more?
Yeah. That'd be much. See, here's the thing. I don't believe that there's any power in the human spirit, in the human will, to accomplish these things we want to accomplish. Lose weight. Read through the Bible. Be more loving, get a better job, whatever. I think that the power to do those things comes from an intimacy with God. It is a responsive thing. If the human being could, on his own, sustain all of these great intentions, we would not be living in the mess we're in right now. The reason we're in this mess is because sin abounds. The antidote to sin is Christ. Mm-hmm. The sacrifice and the provision of God. So as a result of that provision, you and I, according to Hebrews, can walk right into the throne room at any time we want without fear or hesitation.
But you know what? most people who have good intentions, and we know that the highway to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yeah, right.
That's not the point. They don't feel worthy to approach God.
Right.
If we can get past the unworthiness mm-hmm. feeling.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To, yeah, we're all wretched. We're all bankrupt. Mm-hmm. Blessed are they who are poor in spirit. In other words, you're spiritually bankrupt.
Right.
We're all a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? The scripture says that the mercies are new every morning.
That's right.
Not every Friday.
Right.
Not every Sunday morning.
Not every time you do it right.
Yeah. Not once a month.
Mm-hmm.
The mercies are new mm-hmm. every morning. You get a fresh start every day.
Right. Right, not just on New Year's.
Yeah.
So here's the thing that I'm saying. The value question you're talking about, Perry, is tremendously rampant. People do see themselves as disqualified, mm-hmm. which if you understand the gospel correctly, you'll understand is inappropriate. If God made you perfect by his perfect sacrifice, it was something he did. It wasn't something you did.
Mm-hmm.
He sees you as perfect. Now, we all know that we're in a process of becoming like him. So it's another one of these paradoxes of God. I'm a sinner and I'm perfect simultaneously. Mm-hmm. When God looks at me, he's not upset. He's not trying to figure out how to punish me. He sees me as absolutely as Christ is. Perfect. That's what he sees. So my value in God is the one place in this crazy universe where I'm okay. Now, with my boss, my kids, my wife, my friends, my situation, they all might be totally out of control. But with God, I'm safe. I'm accepted. If I'm a believer, I'm accepted. I'm golden. Okay? Mm-hmm. That is the foundation from which I deal with all these other things in life.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where people go wrong, in my mind, much of the time, is they're always trying to get that with God so that then they can deal with these other things. And I'm saying, no, 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 no. If you're a believer, Jesus said, it is finished. It's done. God's not waiting on you to get it together. Now, will he convict you and will he sanctify you? Absolutely. He will. So he's not going to leave you stagnant. And one of the things I like about what Bob is saying in this book is, hey, you need to hear his voice, not so much so you can know what to do, so that you can know that he does indeed love you.
Mm-hmm.
Once that becomes cemented, or as I like to say, once God etches that onto your heart, that he loves you and you know that you know that you know that you know, now you have a foundation and a strength to deal with things that the average human doesn't have because it's outside of you. Mm-hmm. Something God grants you, something he gives you, something he builds into you. And that is the strength from which you move forward and make these resolutions or change these things in your life. It's a matter of conviction. It's not a matter of trying harder. If trying harder worked, Jesus would not have been so hard on the Pharisees.
Well, I'd like to help our listeners put this in perspective, because so often we go into the new year. You know, we do have good intentions to do a lot of good things. There's no mm-hmm. question about it. We're going to make changes, and it's all mm-hmm. for our benefit.
Mm-hmm.
But in these troubling times, the most important thing you can do is say, all right, what can I do? Because part of this book that I read from Chuck Swindoll was mm-hmm. simplify, simplify, simplify.
Exactly.
I mean, mm-hmm. How much clutter can you really cut out of your life
mm-hmm.
and simplify down to where you can hear God's voice?
Mm-hmm.
I'm busy. You're busy.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at my to-do list,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it even wore God out.
If it were possible.
Yeah.
That's
so
funny.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought, all right, you know, I got to quit. There's only so much time. You do the best you can. The one thing that we've been given equally is time.
Yeah.
And, but are you taking time to hear God? Are you taking time? Mm-hmm. He speaks to you through his word.
Yep.
He speaks to you through his writings, like this little book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He speaks to you through people.
That's right.
But are you listening?
Mm-hmm. And do you know anybody well enough that they would know how or what is going on with you? And this is what I see repeatedly, is that people are believers, they go to church, but no one really knows what's happening with them. Mm-hmm. No one even knows what's going on inside of them. Therefore, they're missing one of the major blessings of the family of God, which is that you can be helped. You can have your burden shared by another believer. You can be loved by God specifically through another person. Mm-hmm. And it's what I call God.
But are you willing to let yourself be loved?
Well, there's another question. It's what I call God with skin on. Mm-hmm. It's what I listen. Sometimes I'm in that quiet place, and what I'm asking for, God, is that, look, I need you with skin on. I this whole spiritual thing isn't working for me right now. I need something that's more tangible. And because I have people in my life who are deeply connected to me, that's how He does it. Because they know. They can sense my struggle because they know me. And I've spent years of my life historically where no one knew me. But I was very, you know, on the outside, I looked pretty good. But I was really alone. That's not a virtue of the kingdom of God. Being together is really one of the reasons that we exist. And Jesus said, look, they, the world, will know who I am by your love one for another. Not mm-hmm. the world, for each other. Mm-hmm. So this idea of being open and being honest is imperative to spiritual life. And you said something really important earlier, Perry. You talked about, you know, people feeling disqualified or mm-hmm. being what I think—
unworthy.
Unworthy. The way I put it is people are what I call love resistant. God loves them, but they're resistant to it. They're they're trying to get themselves together. They're trying to look better, feel better, do better, be what they think God expects of them. And that's all opposite to the gospel. The gospel is God did it on your behalf.
Well, we're going to head into a new year.
Yep, and, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, and I just think that it is the church's golden opportunity. Are you prepared to give out? And if your bucket's empty, then you got nothing to give out.
It's true.
You cannot give out mm-hmm. of an empty bucket.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can, because I've done it.
but it's phony.
It is, and it's ineffective.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, I think that this love for one for another mm-hmm. has to be genuine.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And if you want to know where you're going to start loving, it's usually where God's bringing you through to mm-hmm. turn you around, have you love someone else through mm-hmm. that. I got a quick question. I guess it's somewhat on topic, but it fits in here a little bit. I'll stretch it. I think one of the diseases in Christendom today is cynicism. Mm. Why right. are Christians so cynical?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's because they're disappointed or disillusioned because they've been told that Christianity means this, this, or that. You know, it means you're going to be successful. It means you're going to be happy. It means your life's going to get better. It means things are going to go well for you. And then you realize in time that that's not true. Matter of fact, Jesus never said that. What Jesus said was, look, if they're going to kill me, what do you think they're going to do to you? If you need to take up your cross and follow me. This isn't about everything going well for you circumstantially. This is about me saving your soul from sure destruction, because that's what you deserve. But instead of that, out of my intense mercy and love, I am going to make you my son or daughter.
But we measure our spirituality by our happiness.
Yeah. And that makes for delusion, disappointment.
And not by the fact of the work of the cross.
Right. And see, that's a big misunderstanding. It's that your well-being was, you know, in terms of your circumstances, wasn't the purpose for the cross. Your well-being spiritually, eternally, was the purpose of the cross. And you read the New Testament, that's not a collection of stories, excuse me, about how well it went for people. mm-hmm. You read the Old Testament, it's the same thing. I just reread Job this past weekend, most of it, and, you know, I find it interesting. In the very beginning of that book, Satan shows up at a meeting God's having with some of the angels. And God says to him, hey, what you been doing, Satan? And Satan's like, oh, I've been roaming around the earth, checking things out. Mm-hmm. And God says, have you noticed my servant Job?
Yeah.
Like, thanks a lot.
You missed one. Did you see that one?
Yeah. And, you know, the idea that God pointed Job out, I think, is a surprise to a lot of people. God knew already what was going to happen. He knew that Job wasn't going to turn. But he also knew that Job was going to suffer to make the point.
Well, what about Paul?
Yeah.
He had this thorn in the flesh. Mm-hmm. Now, you and I have heard a million sermons on what it possibly could be.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You know,
I got my own opinions, too.
Well, I mean, yeah,
we all got one.
They're all way out there. But the fact of the matter is that he had to carry it all of his life, and God says, nope, my grace is sufficient to get you through this.
Right. And the other reason that he was given it is because God said, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation that you have received, Paul, I'm going to let you keep this because I know what you did with information last time. You became a religious nut.
Mm-hmm.
So this is to keep you humble. So you don't get this knowledge, this information, this revelation I've given you doesn't go to your head. And so pain has a very important purpose.
I've done way too many funerals of the generation that prayed all night.
Mm.
And there are a few left, but they're starting to go.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look back on their lives, now this is the great generation, World War II.
Right.
They gave themselves for a country.
Mm-hmm.
They gave themselves for a family.
Mm-hmm.
They saved. They did all of this. I mean, they just did not know. There was a time for a while where America was peaceful and happy.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, they worked and saved. And they in a very unbelievable, unselfish way, deprived themselves to save for their children.
Right.
Okay. And yet... The gospel flourished under that.
Right.
In those days, you would see an altar call, and young people would run to the altar and be called into the ministry, or be called into the mission field and go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
Now those young people have inherited all of that stuff that their parents had. We squandered it and needed more, so we went out and invented credit and really got ourselves upside down and call this smart economics. Now we're asking God to bail us out.
Yeah.
But the point is... This me stuff's got to stop. Mm-hmm. It's not only the first focus is him.
Yep,
and then the second focus is others.
Right.
We don't see ourselves as servants. We see ourselves as recipients.
Well, you know, and I think there's a little bit to do with this is in the way we set church up. And that is that most...
Be careful now. There's a lot of pastors listening, and they'll call me. And
okay.
Okay, Patrick Doyle's home phone number is...
No, the reason I say this isn't because I'm trying to castigate anyway. I hope pastors are listening, and I hope they do think about this.
Yeah.
Because they're one of the key components to it changing. And I love my brothers in the pulpit. They do a very important and needy and needful job. But, you know, most church situations, you are a consumer. You listen to the message, and you're a connoisseur of it, and you pick it apart, and then you listen to the worship, and you decide whether it was good or bad, and you're not involved. It's a few people doing all the work, generally, and it's kind of developed into that. I don't believe that was the original intention, but that's what you see a lot of times in churches is a lot of consumer-oriented people going there and taking it in.
I just read a most interesting testimony of a pastor who had worked for years building his church up, and it's a substantial church, using all of the techniques of advertising or consumer-oriented.
Right.
And he walked on the pulpit one day. He walked up to the platform, and he was about 20 minutes away from preaching, and he had been away. He'd been on vacation, and he came back, and he actually been in a time of solitude with God.
Awesome.
And he talked about how it was a dry time. Oh, I've been there. You talk to God, and all of a sudden the wallpaper, just nothing happening, you know. You and the wallpaper having a great conversation. It's just going nowhere. But as he walked up on the platform, the Lord began to speak to him, and he said, look what you have done. He said, what do you mean, Lord? This is what you have
you
done.
You built it, right?
Yeah. And he almost got physically sick.
That would be good.
Yeah. And he stepped to the pulpit, and he said, I don't want to say what he said because it was him.
Right.
And I don't think we ought to take every one man's experience
and
make it the common.
The point is there, though.
The point is that God spoke to him, and he realized that he was using all these other man-made methods.
Right.
Did they work? They were very successful.
That's right.
But God said, you know, no wonder you're wore out. You know.
Yeah. This thing's riding you. You're not riding it.
Well, I guess, you know, as we go into this new year, Patrick, I think if I hear heart's cry from people, I still have the 450 prayer requests in my office.
Mm-hmm.
We have sent out this little book, Knowing God's Will, and the response we have gotten has been unbelievable. We have done a lot of things, but this little thing has gotten more spark.
Good.
And I think there is a genuine cry of people saying, all right, God, I'm tired of all this other nonsense. The world is upside down.
Right.
What is it really all about?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, that same guy stepped to his pulpit and he said, how many of you been in church and asked the question, how many of you really think you're going to heaven?
Yeah, right. And the answer was shocking, wasn't it?
Well, actually what he said, how many of you are really not sure that you're saved?
Mm-hmm.
And the raised hands just about floored him.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we're living in a time where, yeah, we want to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
We want to exercise more. And those are all noble things.
And they're good.
Very good. We want to read better books.
Yeah.
We want to do all the things.
Right.
We want to pray
read the
more.
Bible. Yeah. It's good stuff.
But have you ever really stopped and talked to God and said, God, what is it you want for my life?
Exactly. And let God be God. I mean, he's going to be either way, but this process goes a lot easier when you're in step with what he's saying. And that's just it, Perry. You said something very key, which is that whose agenda are we going to go after? Mm-hmm. Look, I need to lose weight, and I need to read the Bible through in a year, and I need to be a better mom, and I need to be a better dad and a better parent, and I need to make more money and it'd be more successful on budget and yeah. Okay. How many verses in the New Testament do you hear God talking about that stuff?
No.
It's not really there. What God's talking about is him and his kingdom and you being a part of it. And there is a place for you in the kingdom. And this is the other thing I wanted to say today is that, look, I don't care what you've been through. I don't care where you've been. I don't care how muddy you've been, how dirty you got. The gospel, the work of Christ, is sufficient to clean any sin known to man. If God reveals himself to you and brings you into his family, you are qualified to be his vessel within his kingdom. Bottom line, end of story, you're not disqualified. And every time you hear that lie, that you're disqualified as his child, you recognize it as a lie, and you retort with the truth, which is that, no, God has said that he made me perfect and that his sacrifice was sufficient, and it is finished. And I'm no longer going to live under the lie of I'm not worth it.
Mm.
That's killing the church, is that lie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not worth it. Now, I'm telling you, according to the gospel, not Patrick Doyle, not Perry Atkinson, not the church, according to the gospel of Christ, that is absolutely untrue. And so my hope is that in this new year, you will make it your endeavor to be full of the gospel, not because you try, but because God has done the work. You can be a recipient of his glory, his goodness, his kindness, his mercy. And as a result, all those things that humanly we desire will go much better because we'll have a value that can't be touched by man.
Patrick Doyle heads up Veritas Counseling, and the number to his office is 622-6018. And maybe you would like to make an appointment. Got great confidentiality there to help you with whatever you're dealing with. Again, that's 622-6018. I have four of these books that...